Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negron. It's Tuesday night, March 31st. Couldn't wait for February to end. Now I can't wait for March to end. Boy, just snow, cold weather, nothing. Where is my spring? I moved down to D.C. to have spring, eternal spring, eternal sunshine. Where is it? Nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. What's going on down here? You're making me sick. You're making me mad. Anyway. Program's called Outside Looking In. I am Bruce Negron. I'm here every Tuesday night, as I just mentioned. And we're going to be talking about the issues that emanate from Montgomery County. My phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. It's two-way talk radio, so that means you get off your couch, pick up the phone, give me a call, talk to me. Talk to me. I'm listening. Anyway, how you doing today? I'm doing all right. It's only Tuesday, and it feels like it's the longest week I've ever had. What's going on now is that I'm going on vacation next week, so panicking at work, panicking here, panicking there, just trying to get things done. And, you know, it just all piles up. I got to go here. I got to get the car greased and oiled. I got to do all this kind of stuff, all that kind of stuff. Because we're taking the old school trip, piling the kids into the car and doing something that I have never done. Driving to Florida. What? Are you nuts? A little bit. A little bit nuts. I'm not going to lie to you. But I'll tell you, man, with the two kids and then us, and I think we were going to book a little bit late, you know, flying would have been like $1,200, $1,500, close to $1,700 maybe. And I just don't have that kind of cash. I don't have that kind of cash. I'm not going to lie to you. Especially after putting together this kind of vacation. My goodness, Universal Studios. They give you a big gulp and a gun because they're sticking you up. The money that you got to spend for kids' vacations is out of control. Don't let it happen. But I will tell you, when I get back, we're going Griswold style. We're not going to be singing beer bottles of beer on the wall, that's for sure. But we'll have some good music going. We'll have the windows down. Just, you know, for the first time in my life, I think I'm going to be glad to see 85-degree weather, you know, to drive to Florida. For the weather. I've never been anywhere for the weather. But this time, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. How can it not be fun? The kids are pretty psyched up to go. I'm pretty psyched up to go. We'll see. But I'll tell you, the week before vacation, you need vacation because of the week before vacation. Oh, who's covering me here? Who's doing this? Who's doing that? We've got to tie up all the loose ends. You're running from, 6 in the morning to 12 at night trying to get everything done at work. And then you got to come home and finish up some other stuff. It's crazy. Crazy. What can I tell you? That's what I'm going to tell you. Anyway, the show is called Outside Looking In. We're here every Tuesday between 8 and 9 o'clock. My name is Bruce Negron. My phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. Coming off an interesting show last week, we're talking about Starbucks and their, talk about race, etc., seeing how it's going, and just trying to spur a national debate or dialogue, that's more of the word, a national dialogue, about how things should be, even race is about race relations, etc. You know, and as I said, as I mentioned last week, I'm cool with that. There's conversations that need to be had, and maybe it is time to have some conversations like this. But my question comes down to corporate responsibility. Right, Starbucks is going out there being a social a messenger and a harbinger for social change. You know, we follow me. I'm for gay marriage. I'm for this. I'm for that. You know, anytime there's an uprising, Starbucks, or the bad word, bad choice of words. Let me bring that back. Not uprising. Anytime there's a disruption. That's a new term that's going around now. We have to be a disruption to the system. So anytime there's a disruption and people are behind a social issue, whether right or wrong, Starbucks is getting involved and their CEO is getting involved. My question here is, question authority, right? But now corporate America is getting involved in social issues. Why are they doing this? You can not trust the NSA because they're tapping your telephone. I don't think corporate America is as evil. You never know. Maybe Halliburton could be. But why are they doing this? Why are they getting involved in social issues? Why are they trying to create dialogue? Why are they to get their name in the paper? That's why. It's all a PR move. Don't kid yourself. Yeah, things need to be said, but it's like, hey, this is a great way to do it. This is a great way to cloak ourselves in social responsibility and corporate responsibility, get our name in the paper, and Starbucks is a socially responsible. Because what was funny about it, it actually had a basis last night. It was on Facebook. I am one of the few people who are on Facebook. As long as it's on my mobile phone, I will go on to Facebook and check things when I have nothing else to do. Nothing else to do. Not at stoplights, not in the middle of conversations, but when I have nothing else to do. And I have no problems with Facebook because it's put me back in touch with a lot of good friends, a lot of good people. So people from college, people from Atlanta, people from different parts of my life who the only reason I stopped talking to them or wasn't around them is because we're all afraid of the phone right now, which is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, who would have thought in business? I was talking to my boss yesterday, and this is one of the few conversations we've had where he's actually made sense to me. But he goes, I called him from my home phone, so he's like, hey, Bruce Negron, how you doing? Work phones now have caller ID. Everybody's got caller ID. And no one ever picks up something that says private caller or anonymous anymore, so you might as well just go to voicemail anyway. But who would have thought in business, mind you, that the telephone call, cold calling, just sales calls, regular business calls, it's a dead thing. Nobody calls for business anymore. People would much rather be bothered with an email. An email, it's not as intrusive. It doesn't come in. It doesn't come in. It's like, I can answer at any time, or I can just type a couple letters. It's boom. I don't have to go through the process of picking up the phone, saying, hello, how are you? Hey, I want to talk to you. Because you're on your keyboard anyway, right? We're so keyboard-centric, it's ridiculous. But I digress. And that's the beauty of this program, digression. Because we go on tangents and secants and everything. Secant? I can't see. Anyway, that's a shout-out to Jeff Herbst, a friend of my brother's. And my brother told that story. It's not really funny, but the way he tells it, it makes you laugh hysterically. But another tangent. But anyway, I was talking about Facebook, and on Facebook last night, I saw someone talk about, gay marriage. And that's fine. And it was the CEO of Starbucks, and he was saying, somebody came up to him and said, can we stop the gay marriage talk here? Because it seems like it's hurting sales. And the guy from Starbucks, the CEO, said, you know what? If you don't like it, you can sell your shares in my company and go somewhere else. So this person on Facebook gives it a big like and says, I'm not a coffee drinker, but I'm going to Starbucks. Bam! There it is. Whoop! There it is. Exactly. Pandering to people by social media and social issues. It's pandering. There might be some people who believe in this kind of stuff, but don't believe the hype. Not everyone. We're going to get involved in social issues because it's going to increase our bottom line. It's going to increase our bottom line. That's why we're going to do it. And if you don't get, and you get involved in social issues on the wrong side, like Chick-fil-A, right? You remember that? It's going to attack our bottom line. But they seem to have recovered because their product and their service and their stores, for those people who have it, I know the people up north don't have it, but the people down south and across who do have Chick-fil-A, the service is pretty incredible. I mean, you talk, it's everything that you would want in a fast food restaurant. And if you like the chicken and their waffle fries, et cetera, then you're in a good spot. But they took a hit, right? They took a hit even though they are a top-notch, top-flight fast food joint. But this whole corporate responsibility thing is really starting to scare me a little because everybody's coming out saying, we're for this, we're for that, we're for this, we're for that. I remember being in a record seminar, record. How about this? This is how old I am. A record industry, not music industry, record industry. I was still there when we were pressing vinyl, and vinyl was still big. The CDs were just coming out. We had cassettes and vinyl. CD was like a big to-do. It's like, yo, CD. I'll tell you, though, the first time I played a CD, I was like, damn, that's crisp. That bass is booming. But anyway, I worked for a rap label, so that's what I used to talk like. But anyway, in this record industry, I went to some seminar, and it was a little bit later on, and we're talking to some guy, you know, this New York guy, and he comes in, he was working on a dance music label. And he goes, yeah, I learned to speak Spanish because, you know, there's a lot of stations down in Brownsville. This way I can talk to people down there and get my records on the air. You know, he didn't learn Spanish to better himself. He didn't learn Spanish for anything else, but the bottom line. I mean, a smart move. I'll tell you, it was a smart move because now he could talk to these music directors who, you know, even though English is their first language, would rather speak in Spanish. But it was done with money in mind. And that's what I'm trying to say. When these people coming out with these social issues, corporations, I mean, what's going to be next? Exxon coming out for gay marriage or something like that? Buy more of our gas? Forget about that we club seals and, you know, the Valdez? Is that what it's going to be about? I don't know. I mean, you might think I'm out of my mind, but I don't trust it. You know, if Edward Snowden can sit there in Russia and be beamed into the United States telling us not to trust our government, not to trust anything, then why am I going to trust corporate America in terms of what they're doing? It's about the bottom line. It's about the dollar. It's a money grab. It's all a money grab. Social responsibility, yes. You know, it's got to start somewhere. This is the conundrum because it's got to start somewhere. But I don't believe that people are doing it out of the goodness of their heart. Yes, I am going to be, you know, on top of social issues because of the goodness of my heart. Because you see the trend. Everything's an algorithm. Everything is a trend. I mean, geez, it's part of our lexicon. It's part of our language, our vocabulary now. What's trending? We'll find out what's trending and let's get on it so we can sell more hamburgers, so we can sell more coffee, so we can sell more razors, so we can sell more paper towels. You might think I'm crazy. I don't think I'm crazy. Yes, I'm back in the basement, the undisclosed location, somewhere in North Potomac, Maryland. My wife is home now. The kids are in bed. I get to do this without worrying about it. My kids are finally have some guidance, have some people looking after them, unlike me the last 2 weeks. But I'm down here in the basement, and these are my musings. And I don't, you know, the whole thing about what I say is that I'm... You might find fault with 10, 15% of it, 20%, maybe even 50. Maybe even 50, but 50% of it is right. You know, and that's no way to go through life. You can't be 50% right all the time, but start thinking about it. Start looking at these trends. This is about being, you know, everybody talks about being Captain Obvious. How terrible, hey, Captain Obvious. But people go through life with such blinders on. They're so focused, so narrowly focus, tunnel vision, that they don't see the bigger picture. They can't see the trend without somebody telling them what the trend is. That's what I have. That's my superpower. That's what I've been blessed with. Seeing the obvious. Seeing what the next step is. My wife constantly takes me to task saying that I can have an argument with her without her being involved because I can play both sides. I could do it with a lot of people because I know what you're going to say. Most of the time, I know what you're going to say. It's just not anticipation. It's not clairvoyance. It's that I pay attention. I pay attention. And when something happens 9 out of 10 times, it's a good bet it's going to happen 19 or 18 out of 20. Not clairvoyance. It's paying attention and seeing the obvious and talking about the obvious. Having a grasp of it, because if you go through life with blinders on, you're not going to see the big picture. If you don't see the big picture, you don't know what's going on. Huh? What? It's true. Because I said it. I'm like the internet. Think of me as the internet. Whatever I say or whatever I read is true. It's true. Don't second guess me. Because that's the other thing about the internet and Facebook. You know, I got a bunch of friends on Facebook, and the best part is I run the gamut. I got liberals, I got progressives, I got radicals, I got conservatives, I got Tea Party, I got middle of the roads. Straight down the middle, the straight shooter, how you doing? Taking a little bit of this and a little bit of that and making your own opinions instead of being cattle-driven to one side or the other. I have a friend, Francois Lalonde. Best name in hockey, Francois. Francois Lalonde. He said something the other day in a hockey locker room, and this is why I like my hockey locker room, because there are some educated people in there. We just don't talk about girls and drink beer. First of all, we all married, so we can't talk about girls. Second of all, we do just drink beer, but over beer come out good ideas. Francois Lalonde said this to me. He said, Bruce. I said, yes, Francois. Francois. Can't stop saying that name. Francois. And you know what the best part about it? You Americanize his name. Frankie. Frankie, what's up? He goes, how come there can't be a group of Republicans for the environment? And I'm like, bam, I'm in. I'm against fracking. I'm Republican. But I'm against fracking. I believe in recycling. I believe in cleaning up the environment. But mostly I'm against fracking. That is first and foremost. I have to be conditioned about styrofoam and all the other stuff. I know it's bad, but I have to be conditioned. People need to be conditioned at times. But I was like, excellent point. Why can't we have Republicans for the environment? Why can't I drive a Prius with a Ronald Reagan sticker on it? Why not? I mean, do those things come issued with Obama stickers? Just because you're a Democrat or a liberal, that you're the only one who cares about the environment? The old Bronx cheer, the Archie Bunker. Hey, meathead, you're wrong. You're wrong. No, it's just really interesting. It's really, really interesting. Corporate responsibility. Money grabs. So the people on the internet, this is the point I was trying to make. I got people on the Facebook. I love how I say that. The Facebook. People on the Facebook. I sound just like my dad. 83 years old. I sound just like him. Yeah, you know, Ski, that the Facebook. You know, that thing where the people put up the pictures. Where that one or two put up the pictures of everything. Their lunch, their kids, their laundry, whatever. You know, what are you talking about, Ski? Anyway, I got people who post articles on Facebook. Not from the Washington Post, which I read. Not from the New York Post, which I read. Not from the New York Times, which I read occasionally when I feel like being progressive. Not even just from the Huffington Post, which somehow has weaved its way into being part of the mainstream as well. There are so many articles out there that if you look strong enough and hard enough, if you're diligent enough, you can find someone to back up your opinion about anything. About anything. People posting stuff saying, you know, Obama was right about aliens. And then you go to the website to look at it, or you click on the link to look at it. It's Fred's blog. What? You know, the information age, the problem with the information age is yet you don't have to be special anymore to give out information. Look at me, right? I'm on the internet with my own radio show talking to you, telling you that I am right about everything. That's my job. But any Tom, Dick, or Harry, or Jane, or Jamie, or Stephanie, or Allison, anybody with those names can have their own blog or their own radio show. They can. And they do. The thing I got to tell you, though, before I got on internet radio, I used to do a radio show in New Rochelle, New York on a station called WVOX. It was terrestrial radio, and it was a real station. I didn't wake up one day and say, hey, I'm going to have a radio show. How you like them apples? Because I did about 182 shows in New Rochelle talking about issues that emanated from the Queen City of the Sound. I talked about city issues. I talked about county issues. I talked about the issues that were pertinent and important to the people of New Rochelle and during elections and stuff like that, because I got involved. I ran for city office. Told you that already. We're not going to go through my resume because you don't need to know it anymore. Actually, I just don't feel like giving it. But I did a real show. I'm not some Tom, Dick, and Harry. A real station asked me to do something with them. Yeah, there's some kooks and loonies on that station as well, but they were good listens. I like to be a good listen. I like to entertain as well as inform. So I came down, and once you get radio in your blood, forget about it. It will never leave you. It will never, ever leave you. This is the best form of psychiatry that I've ever had. Ever had. I love it. I love it here because I'm able to tell you what I think and what I want. And now, I believe that we have a caller. So before I get to this caller, let's just say this is Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin. Our phone number is 773-897-6423. And we're going to go to the caller, and I have a feeling it's somebody I know. Caller, welcome to
Hello?
Outside Looking In. Yes, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hi, Dad.
Hello, caller. Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Good. What do you want to talk about, kiddo?
I just wanted to say hi. Oh, and guys, this is also Ryan Negrin from the Ryan Negrin Show, if you didn't know.
Ryan Negrin has his own show Fridays at 4:30 on this Blog Talk radio station.
Guys,
go ahead.
Any listeners who listen to my show here, I'm sorry that I didn't have a show the last couple of Fridays. I haven't been checking on time. I keep missing.
That's all right. Ryan, you want to hear what your show sounds like?
Yeah.
Ryan, this is what your show sounds like. A little sampling. That's just a little sampling of the Ryan Negrin Show. Finally, I got you back, kiddo. Hey, go to bed, brush your teeth.
That's Dad. Guys, that was what Dad sounds like. La, la, la. Dad sounds like this.
Now you see why I do a radio show. This is what happens in my own house. My own kids give rid of me. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Dad.
Ryan, I'll be up in a while. What, kiddo? What?
You know that I'm hiding under your desk.
Get out of here. Hey, Ryan, I'll talk to you later, okay? All right, have a good night. Bye-bye. Oh, boy. So now you understand what it's all about. The whole Negrin household, a bunch of wise guys. So all we do is, like, go around. Oh, tomorrow's, what? April 1st? Ay, ay, ay. April Fool's Day. I better be careful in this house. Better be careful. So, hey, look, my son is not afraid to call the radio program. Why are you sitting on your couch? Get up off your couch. Go to the window. Lift it up and say, I am mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And I'm going to call the Bruce Negrin radio program Outside Looking In. The phone number being 773-897-6423. Once again, that's 773-897-6423. Call before midnight tonight so we can ship out your order. What else is going on in the world? Here's something I read in the Washington Post. The Washington Post, a real newspaper. A real newspaper, not Fred's blog. Amazon, the website. Jeff Bezos, or Bezos, man is a genius. And I don't throw that term around lightly. There are a couple in the world. Whoever invented the fax machine to me is a genius. I'm watching The Men Who Built America, so Edison. Genius, even though he had some setbacks, a lot of setbacks, even in business. But anyway, Jeff Bezos, who owns the Washington Post, genius. And you know why? Amazon tackles the honey-do list. Amazon has long aimed to be consumers' one-stop shop for buying items ranging from books to furniture. And on Monday, the e-commerce giant announced that it's now pushing to be the go-to destination for another kind of purchase. Home services, such as gutter repair, treadmill assembly, and TV wall mounting. That is genius. They're going to take out Service Magic and Angie's List. And you know what? It's all for free. You're going to be able to go for free in terms of finding the information. Not obviously, you're going to have to pay someone. But they're going to charge the people. It's going to all be vetted. The vendors are going to be vetted by Amazon. They're going to have to pay Amazon a bit of the cost of the service to be on there. So your prices might be a little tad bit higher, but you're going to get some reputable people with licenses, insurance, etc. Because there's nothing worse than something happens in the middle of the night. This happened to me in New Rochelle. My gutters blew down. I had no idea who to call. You know, and I mean, there were people who do it. Nobody did it locally because I lived in a pretty urban area. So I had to call people who were like an hour away. Oh, I might be down there next Thursday. Next Thursday, I need it today. What, are you kidding me? Amazon coming out to do this. So they're going to be able to, the shoppers are going to be able to call up or get online with Amazon, tell them what's going on. I need gutter repair. I need paving. Anything. Amazon's going to come. They're going to send out a service guy or recommend a service guy, and then you do the deal with them. It's genius. Because let me tell you, Amazon was also the first ones to figure out with the internet that you didn't need warehousing, even though they're building warehousing now. They knew that they could get the products, we could get the orders, and then go out and get the products. So the overhead, I mean, they were losing money. They were losing a lot of money for a while, but they were able to build it back and come back and be probably one of the stronger internet companies ever. They get it. They understand it. He understands it. Now owning the Washington Post, he's got content. He's got the Kindles, the Fires, and all of this kind of stuff. You know, and movies and music. You know, talk about being an internet giant, being a corporate giant. I also heard a story about Jeff Bezos. He was in San Francisco. Somebody told me, I went to some corporate seminar or something, and they were trying to tell me to talk about social issues. But I said, no! It's just for the bottom dollar that you're doing it. No, anyway, Jeff Bezos was with this guy, and they were in San Francisco or something, and they were, you know, they were having a couple drinks. They're boozing around. They're having a good time. It's a bunch of CEOs. It was like the Shark Tank crew or whatever years ago. And they said, where can we get pizza? I'm hungry. Where can we get pizza? So Bezos says, call up Amazon. He says, call up Amazon and find out, you know. And so they did. And the guy's like, well, that's not really my service, but I can tell you that there are a couple good pizza places around this area. I mean, from soup to nuts. Soup to nuts. Two companies like that. Zappos and Amazon. And I'm not even an online shopper. My wife amazed me the other day. She knows her credit card numbers by heart. She memorized them. She was like calling up something and ordering. And she's like, oh, 2244445555. Security code is 494441. Like, damn, Gina. Just like Martin. Damn, Gina. How did you know that? I don't know that. It's a good thing that I don't know that. Otherwise, I'd be buying superfluous hockey equipment daily. Daily. I'd have like 14 pairs of socks, 15 pairs of elbow pads, and new skates every week. If I knew my own, because that's my thing. It's like I got four or five hockey sites sending me emails daily telling me, oh, clearance, clearance. So I'm always looking for my Sherwood Coffee Curve T90 and or EK15 stick. It's expensive. So I'm always looking for on the closeouts. Never on the closeouts. Never on sale. But it's a good thing, you know. I don't have my number. Otherwise, I'd buy it. I'd be in the poorhouse with 15-6 sticks, selling them all to Matt Kramek for way undervalue. I wouldn't like it. So that's about Amazon. Let's get rid of that story. Here's another one. I don't know where to go to next, but I'm going to go to foreign policy experience. I'm reading in the paper what's going on in the Middle East. You're aware of what's going on. There's certain areas, everyone's battling ISIS and ISIL, the same. That's the same crew. But now, it's like the Iranians are like the Death Star. They got people out everywhere. Iran has people, freedom fighters, or militias out in every piece of land in the Arab nation fighting somebody to gain foothold and control of something. So what happens? Where was it? I hate to say this. I don't remember what country it was in. But the United States is lending air support to Iranian rebels who were fighting, not rebels, but Iranian militia who were fighting rebels, the ISIS rebels. Now, talk about pick your poison. I'll have rat poison or I'll drink Drano. I don't know. Which one's better? Which one comes with the Obama seal of approval? But anyway, what I'm saying here is, you know, something I didn't get to last week was the parallels between Ted Cruz and Obama. Because Ted Cruz, the Tea Party guy from Texas, has a Cuban parent, father, mother from Florida, I believe, or somewhere else. That doesn't matter. You know. And are there any people who are more conservative than Cubans? You know, you could say, oh, Bruce, how could you say that on the radio? Whatever. It's the truth. Look at Rubio. Look at everybody. I mean, how what they saw in Cuba when they had to flee must have been the worst stuff they've ever seen. Because they are so conservative. It's unbelievable. And that can only come from an experience that they've felt or dealt with. But anyway, Cruz goes out there. Cruz is less than one term in the Senate. He hasn't even finished a term in the Senate. But he's out there campaigning because he sees a window. What did we talk about a couple of weeks ago about Obama? He saw a window. These guys are eloquent speakers. They're very, very smart. Ted Cruz, whatever you think about him, read his resume. Jesus, national debate champion, Harvard, Princeton, Harvard. You know, I mean, the guy's got the goods in terms of education and intelligence. Where you put your intelligence, that's the question. You know, I'm not a darling of the Tea Party. And that isn't that a funny word? It's what they always say, the darling of the Tea Party. Anyway, the Tea Party scares me because you are talking to either some people who get it fiscally responsible or so far over to the edge to the other side that it might as well be a progressive because it doesn't matter. You're not changing their opinion. The only difference is they're stubborn. The progressives are they think they're more intelligent than you are. They're arrogant. Anyway, but Ted Cruz, I want to be president. I can fix this country. Hey, guess what, man? There are a lot of people who can fix this country. But, you know, everybody wants to look internally. We have to look internally. We have to start taking care of unemployment. We have to start taking care of infrastructure. We have to start, yes, yes, and yes, and yes. But at what expense? You have to balance it. Foreign policy is not overrated. Foreign policy experience, foreign policy know-how, understanding is not overrated. Just because you're the president of the United States doesn't let you walk into a room and think everybody's going to kowtow. Those days are over. And you know who made sure they were over? And you're going to say, oh, here you go again. But Obama did. Mr. Obama made sure those days were over because he left the United States open. He left the United States open. There's Arab nations right now who are saying that it's better to be an enemy of the United States than a friend. And how does that come down to? It all comes down to Iran. Nuclear capabilities. Do you think a piece of paper is going to make a difference? A piece of paper is going to make a difference to people who are fighting, to people who are sponsoring war all over the world right now, all over the Middle East at least. Do you think it makes a difference? I mean, come on. They say history is doomed. Those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. Absolutely. Can you see Obama and Neville Chamberlain? Peace in all time. Peace in all time. And I'm telling you, I don't see Churchill coming down the pike. Not for the United States. There are going to be some unpopular decisions. And the thing that happens, I am not a war hawk. I'm not a war hawk. I don't want to go to war. I don't want my kids to go to war. I do believe we have to protect what's ours in terms of this nation. But again, it's going to take a lot. I was ready. I was ready to serve this nation after 9/11. In what capacity? I don't know. I didn't go to the recruiting station and sign up. The night before 9/11 was the day I decided to get married. I sat watching the New York Giants play football. They were playing Denver. There was a huge rainstorm in New York City, in that area, in the New York metropolitan area. And I remember talking to my dad for about 3 hours. I went up to my dad's house. I said, Dad, I want to see you tonight, okay? He's like, yeah, Ski, come on up. We'll have a pizza. We'll watch the Giants. It'll be fun. So Monday Night Football, I remember sitting there saying, Dad, I made a huge decision in my life. I'm going to propose to Gina. And he's like, really? That's excellent. I'm so proud. And we went on and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. And then after the Giant game, we talked some more. I wake up the next morning. He lived in Yonkers, so he drives me down to 72nd Street. He goes, I'm not going to take you all the way downtown. I work just by Wall Street, just below the Trade Center. He goes, I'm not going to take you downtown today because I got a dental appointment, okay? I get on the train on 72nd Street, get down to Chambers Street, and the world changed. The world changed. I remember sitting on that platform and having some guy saying, you know, get this. And they started cursing. They were telling the one train to get the hell out of there. Get out of there. Bring them all back uptown. I'm like, why? What's going on? And so said, oh, a plane hit the Trade Center. Everyone's like, oh, it's terrorism. It's terrorism. You know, I mean, Mr. Cynic, oh, terrorism. Terrorism right here. You know, Mr. New York, oh, here's your terrorism. So anyway, Schmucko goes down to Wall Street, gets out of the Wall Street exit, and papers are flying everywhere. You look up, there's a gaping hole in the World Trade Center, and all I could think about is that my wife works in the American Express building across the street. What the hell just happened? Talk about having your world coming from a moment of peace, a moment that you woke up and said, I'm going to make a huge decision in my life, and I'm satisfied with it, I'm ready to move ahead, because it had been a while, it had been about 3 years that I was dating Gina or so, and we knew each other for a bit longer than that, and then to have everything turn topsy-turvy. And that day, having to live through that day, being part of it, seeing it, but I'll tell you, the disconnect in New York City was outrageous. Because if you were downtown, you felt it. You understood it. You tasted it. Because when the buildings fell, there was dirt in everybody's mouth down there. I walk out into a cloud. It's like the building, the doorman of 29 Broadway, one of the ladies was like, Jerry, what do we do? What do we do? It's like a 76-year-old man who's, you know, it's his second job out of retirement or something. And he's like, what the hell do I know? It's the most honest answer I've ever heard anybody say. Anyway, rest of my office goes back upstairs. I'm like, if this is it, I'm not staying here. I went out into the darkness, finally made my way around the bottom of Manhattan and saw sunlight. And I looked up and I'm like, it's sunlight. And thousands of people walking, downtrodden, shocked, amazed about what happened. New York City mobilizing. Walking up the FDR, you hear an airplane coming, and everybody's like, oh, shit. Yeah, exactly. Here comes the airplane. Then someone looks up and says, no, it's okay, it's ours. It's ours? Are you out of your mind? It's ours? We were all happy. But we've trudged up, and New York was never better than on that day, by the way. The people who knew what was going on, they were angels, absolute angels. Everyone was outside of their stores giving water to people, just hugging people, you know, letting them wash their face, do whatever they had to do. Me, I had a shirt around my head, around my nose and my mouth because it was that thick. Anyway, I get uptown, I get back, cross Central Park. You could see the flames and the smoke from Central Park. I'm envisioning it now. And people are playing football in the park. People having a brunch on Amsterdam Avenue. Are you nuts? I mean, life goes on, right? You think you got problems? You ain't got problems. Nobody cares. That's the whole thing about everybody who's got problems. Nobody cares. I've learned that a long time ago. Nobody cares. After seeing the callousness of some of these people, after two buildings collapsed, got hit by two jumbo jets and then collapsed, and people still having brunch. Yeah, you got to eat. You got to eat. But you're just having brunch? Oh, let's have another latte. Let's go to Starbucks and discuss race. Get out of here! So anyway, the point of this story being that I was ready. I was ready to do something. I was mad. Once I got over the shock, I was mad. What does George W. Bush tell me to do in his State of the Union speech? He goes, go shopping. Go shopping. Pump up the economy. This was the greatest missed opportunity in the history of the United States. He had an opportunity to say, go out there and do service. Give blood. Do something. Do something today that makes it better tomorrow. That's what I always say, right? That's how I end the program. But he says, go shopping. Don't send, send a dollar to the White House. I mean, people signing up to go Chris Kyle. Pat Tillman. I mean, crazy guys. Guys who had a lot more courage than I did. But if it came to it, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know. If I have to protect my family, I guess I would. You know, I'm not going to talk like a tough guy. I'll be out there, the first one there. I'm the first one. No, I'm not the first one. But if it's going to come down to something like that, and it comes to this soil, then you have to make those tough choices. And God forbid that we ever have to. And that's why keeping the fight over there is so important. That's why a lot of this stuff is so important. So you don't have to make these decisions. You know, we'll go back to the Korean War Memorial. Freedom is not free. It is not free. But you're out there acting like it's free, a lot of people. And Obama here, you better get some policy. You better understand what's going on. Just because you went and made a speech in Cairo, at the University of Cairo, does not get you off the hook. Nobody cares about words. When you behead people, words mean nothing. They mean absolutely nothing. Nothing. We got a caller. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, so you're on outside looking in.
So you were going to serve this country? You were going to serve this country after 9/11?
No, I didn't say that. I said the thought enters your mind. I would serve this country in ways that doesn't put a rifle in my hand. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I think at that particular time, the president should have called for something that Roosevelt would have done, the CCC or something like that, where you have a border patrol of people coming together, you know, and giving up a year between 18 and 19 or something and delaying college for a while. And you know what you get out of that? You get people who understand. There's your race relation building. Not having them in the army and going to fight, but doing civic service and civil duty, protecting the border, doing anything. Yeah, I would have done something like that. I don't want a machine gun, an M1 in my hand, but I would have done something for this country at that particular time, yes.
Do you think people did enough for this country at that time?
No, because no one was asked to. What did you do? What were you asked to do other than go shopping? Nobody, the serious situation of what it was about at that particular time, it didn't get taken advantage of. And it just drifted away to where people stopped holding doors for each other, people stopped caring about each other, and it became life as usual.
Well, that was always the problem. I mean, that's the thing. The niceties and things that people did stopped being done. It was there for about a month and a half, 2 months, and it was surreal. And it was like you didn't know, like people were actually being friendly. And then all of a sudden, it returned to some type of normalcy.
Because when you don't have it, well, normalcy, I don't know about normalcy.
I don't know what normalcy
you don't
is.
Have, when no one leads the charge or gives you some leadership, people wander around rudderless and go back to what they know. You know,
Bruce,
I don't know if it's normalcy, but.
Bruce, do you think that what ISIS needs is jobs? Do you think that? Because I thought that was one of the most unbelievable things I've ever heard said in the history of my life, that what ISIS needs is jobs.
Well, I mean, that seems to be the answer for everything. Like working at a post office doesn't make you crazy. You know, we should put them all in the post office. It would be perfect.
Right. Like when you're on your knees and the guy's about to cut your head off, you should look up and say, what I see here is a lot of untapped potential. How are your computer skills?
I'm good for Benihana.
Yeah, I can be on. Exactly. Sam the Butcher. Iron
it's
Chef.
Ridiculous. But to reason, how about we start with water? You know, maybe that might be a difference. You know, if people got to live like animals or, you know, or in prehistoric times, then I get it. You know, that could drive someone to difficulty. But it's a different world and, you know, Westerners just don't know how to deal with these situations. I mean, we send 6 Rangers, you know, special forces in with $100,000 of cash and a satellite radio, and they're talking to tribes people. How do they know how to deal with that?
Well, the best thing to deal with a beheading is to go play golf right afterwards.
That's, you know, I mean, he came out and said he regretted that. Oh, really?
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, no, I mean, he finally said it. But it was just, but seriously, it's like dealing with my 5-year-old, it's 6-year-old. You knew if you did that, this was going to be the response. Oh, I didn't realize. I'm sorry. I didn't realize after beheading, playing golf was wrong. It just didn't dawn on me. And, I mean, it's easy to jump on the guy, but it's like this whole thing. I mean, what I was alluding to before, it's like Ted Cruz. I wouldn't trust Ted Cruz with foreign policy either. I mean,
nor would I.
Everybody's
no.
so.
I agree with you.
Everybody's focused so far
who would
inward.
Trust?
Huh?
Who
would
who
I trust?
Would you trust?
They haven't.
Yeah.
You know what? I hate to say it. Maybe a Hillary Clinton. Maybe. I mean, she does have the experience, and she does know, but she was carrying somebody else's message. And I'm not endorsing Hillary Clinton by any means. I think the time has passed on her, and I think this whole Clinton situation where they think they're above the law bothers me as well. But, you know, it's just got to be somebody who – you can't spend less than 4 years in the Senate and think you know how to run a nation.
No,
I mean,
nobody's distinguished. Yeah. Nobody's distinguished themselves is the problem.
It's funny. You have requirements for how long you can stay in office, but you don't have requirements to get into office.
No, well, I you guys remember when we went to the we took the Senate tour or the Congress Capitol tour,
absolutely.
And we were watching that film, and Obama was the one guy we noticed with his feet up. Like in that movie thing, it's like that's my man, community organizer.
Yeah, Jeff Johnson, a man you can count on.
All right, man, great job.
All right, go Rangers.
And Bruce, did you not think about me that day when I was down there?
God, I'm going to go watch the Rangers.
Yeah.
Great show.
You did.
I did. I thought about all my friends.
You did. You called me that night. And you actually told me that you were going to propose. That's right. I remember that.
Not to you, man.
Listen, I was always your first love.
Get out of here, all right?
Rangers,
hey, thanks
tied.
For calling in, man.
Love
no,
you.
I got it on tape. Why you got to ruin it? We'll talk to you later, boys.
There you go.
These New York guys, they call me. They always make jokes. The New York guys make jokes. But they're getting off their couches, and they're getting it done. The phone number is 773-897-6423. It's 773-897-6423. You know, I mean, a bit of a light-hearted approach on some of those comments, but it's true. It's like so misguided. I mean, they're cutting off your heads. Oh, let me get you a job. There's a job doesn't cure psychosis, does it? You know, of savageness, of viciousness. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, I do know. That's the whole thing. I do know. I say I don't know because I'm trying to pretend like, that it baffles me. But foreign policy experience is not overrated. You know, you can't go from a community organizer in Chicago or a senator from Texas for less than 4 years holding your first office and then become president because the problems in the world are too big. Obama and Ted Cruz are going to love the election process. They love the election process, but they don't have what it takes to govern. And I'm saying the gravitas, the it's not so much the intangibles, but the experience and the know-how. That's what it comes down to. Let's talk about another topic now. I would just talk about the Rangers for a moment, and let's go Rangers. None of this Capitol nonsense. You know, you Capitol fans, you got a little happy the other day. Just pipe down there. Just pipe down. Rangers are flat. Capitals, you know. And everybody talks about Ovechkin, MVP. You know, I guess he's the only one who scores on the Capitals. But, boy, I've watched him play a couple times. I don't want to make him play defense or whatever. But I'll tell you, gliding back into your zone is pretty weak. As Don Cherry would say, he's a floater. He's a floater, that guy. This is what's going on right now. We got fantasy sports sites. You know, professional sports and fantasy gambling sites, you can't shake the devil's hand and say you're only kidding because this is what's going to happen to professional sports. People are just, with fantasy football, you know, it's like, oh, it's never been bigger. It's never been better. Football, everybody loves football. But nobody roots for a team anymore. All right, we had a bit of a power outage, if you believe it. It's all fixed. We're back. I guess people don't like what I'm talking about. They're always trying to sabotage. Sabotage. Anyway, what I was talking about was professional sports. They're selling their souls to these fantasy gaming things like FanDuel and DraftKings. You know, what's going to happen pretty soon is that people aren't going to root for the league anymore. They're just going to be rooting and betting. What happens there is, like, you start betting. It's fantasy football. It's like, I'm one of the few people, one of the few people who suck at fantasy football. I suck at it. My team's name was called Doe and 12. Because what happens here is I am a Giant fan through and through. I watch the Jets, but I am a Giant fan through and through, and I will not draft any Cowboys. I will not draft any Redskins. I will not draft any Eagles. So that means I end up with Jay Cutler all the time and Eli Manning. So, but it's true because I'd rather root for my team than root for a fantasy football made-up nonsense. And what's happening now is you're getting people betting on all these games. So pretty soon, you know, they want the sports book in Jersey and they want to put a team in Las Vegas and all of this kind of stuff. You got to be careful. And then the NBA wants betting too. You know, betting. And they want to do this FanDuel stuff. You're going to lose who you are. You just become money generators instead of a passion, instead of a love. That's what sports is. It's an escape. It's for me to take my kids to go out there, sit there, or just even talk to my friends and talk about the Rangers. Talk about the Mets, even though I'm the only Met fan in the United States. Talk about the football, New York football Giants. And when they don't suck this bad, the New York Knicks. Phil Jackson and Carmelo. See ya. Bye-bye. See ya. Bye-bye. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, now everything's like, oh, draft a fantasy team, this guy and that guy. It's about stats and analytics. Where's the passion? Where's the game? Even GMs and stuff like that are like, well, when they talk about their teams, they talk about product. It's football is not a product. Anything that a human being puts blood, sweat, and tears into is not a product. Music is not a product. It's artistry. And when it becomes a product, then it's no longer artistry. It's no longer a sport, no longer a passion. It's a business. And sports is always a business. Don't get me wrong on that part. But it's going to become a business for the fans. The fans aren't going to care about a sweater anymore. They're just going to care about an individual. How can I make money off this particular situation? I'm not going to sit down and watch. The Super Bowl. I don't care who's in the Super Bowl. None of my fantasy players are in it. All right there, Jerky. Take a walk. There's so much more to say about that. There really is. So much more to say. We didn't get to one topic that I wanted to discuss, but again, I was right on this one. Transit-oriented development on the rise. They're talking about it in Montgomery County. What it really boils down to is that millennials want to take the train. They don't want to take a bus. They want to take a train. There's no stigma in taking a train. There's a huge stigma in taking the bus. Nobody even knows. When you can't buy a ticket to get on a bus at a bus stop, that's why no one rides the bus. And plus, it's much, much slower. But anyway, we'll get to that next week. Also talk about Martin O'Malley. We're seeing who the dark horses are, see where people are coming from. But Martin O'Malley, he's out there. This guy has raised taxes on me 9,000 times. I got to pay more taxes to Maryland than I even did to New York State. That's absolutely ridiculous. I moved from New York not to pay taxes. Coming down here in Maryland, pay more taxes to the state. Anyway, the program's called Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin, here every Tuesday night, except next week I'm going on vacation. So write this phone number down at 773-897-6423. Give me a call one time. Don't be afraid. Be here. Love me. Love the show. Do me a favor also. Do something today that'll make it better tomorrow. I'll talk to you in about 2 weeks. But there's a danger that I'll figure out something old.
you know who I am? I'm Mo Green. I made my bones when you were going out with cheerleaders.
So, Bobby, did they ever catch that gorilla what escaped from the zoo and punched you in the eye?
No, Mama. The search continues.